Let me sound off in the beginning. We ain't losing, we back to winning. Hometown love, been repping from the start. Nothing but niners, red and gold in my heart. And we go hard when it's time to play. May have left Frisco, but ain't left the Bay. Kyle Shanahan time, can he bring us back to get our sixth ring? Imagine that. Light shine bright at Levi whenever it's game day. Take a hit from Bowman, calling it May Day. Eric Reed ball out, getting the picks. New year, Garcon going deep for six. Can't forget about Hyde when he toting the rock. While Robinson outside, keeping it locked. Had a lot of legends, time to make some new ones. Nothing but niners, haters come and get some. Yeah.
What is going on, faithfuls? This is your boy Mike from the Nothing But Niners crew. And I'm here to talk to you guys about a couple of things. But before we get into that, we'll let you guys know where to find us. Go to the website, www.nothingbutniners.com. All spelled out, you guys will find a ton of content there. There you will find access to the Facebook page, to the Twitter feed, the individual writers that we have there. The crew is doing an excellent job, man. Scott, Zach, Mike, Ollie. Everyone is doing an amazing job. And our newest member is Abel. Abel, the very controversial addition to the Nothing But Niners crew, but we are very proud to have him. The guy has a great work ethic, and I think you guys are going to love what he brings to the table. So www.nothingbutniners.com. Be sure to stop by and check it out, okay? You can give us a follow on Twitter. That is Nothing But Nine ERS. Nothing But Niners there as well. We're everywhere, guys. So take some time out. Give us a look. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, please, please, please listen all the way through. And if you like it, go to iTunes, leave us a review. All right. Give us 5 stars. Give us a nice rating. Give us some feedback. We always appreciate the feedback. And that's going to be it, man. I'm going to jump into this because this is going to be a very good episode. I have a special guest that's going to join me a little bit later. But before that, I want to talk about something. If you take a look at the website, nothingbutniners.com, and go to the blog section, one of the newer articles there, depending on when you listen to this, obviously, is a way too early 53-man roster prediction done by Ollie. By the way, you guys can find Ollie on Twitter. His handle is at AliYaz01. Check him out there, all right? Give him some feedback. Take a look at this. It's just a quick breakdown of who he thinks is going to make the team. Ollie and I, as well as Nick, we did a YouTube video where we discussed some of the 53-man roster breakdown. Nick and I gave our opinions to Ollie. Ollie stood his ground, as he should. But he also reserved the right to go back and change it. He said he's going to make some revisions to this. He's going to do another 53-man roster prediction after the first 2 preseason games. And then he'll do one more right before the final cuts. So, again, this is not anything written in stone, but it was kind of entertaining. So, if you guys go to the YouTube channel, Nothing But Niners on YouTube, you will see us debating this with Ollie. But what I want to talk about is the cornerback group here. Rashard Robinson, he has making it. And I don't think there's anybody out there that's going to disagree with that. Rashard Robinson is probably the best corner on the team. And that's saying a lot considering how inexperienced he is, relatively speaking. I would say that other than Rashard Robinson, Jimmy Ward was probably our next best guy in coverage. But they have him moving over to safety now. So we don't really have the ability to say Rashard Robinson is going to be, opposite of Jimmy Ward now. So Ali decided to leave the following guys there. Rashard Robinson, again, everyone agrees with. The next corner he has is Will Redmond. Now, Will Redmond is going to be an intriguing make of the roster because what have we seen Will Redmond do? Let's be honest. It's kind of like saying we've seen Ellington do enough to make the team. You guys have to see the YouTube video. But I digress. Will Redmond is still a question mark. Akello Witherspoon. All the articles that I've seen, every time the media has a chance to go and watch the practices during the OTAs, there was not much positive coming back about Akello Witherspoon. It seemed like he was getting burnt frequently. It seemed like he just isn't quite grasping it. He's made for the system. That's why they went after him so early, as high as they did. But it just doesn't seem like he's quite getting it. Now, maybe it's because the gentleman, they don't have pads on yet, and he's a press guy. So maybe he's a little at a disadvantage right now, you know, just playing in shorts and not being able to make the contact the way he wants. But it seems like his learning curve is going to be pretty steep, and I don't know if I'm comfortable enough saying that he's going to make the roster. But you can only work with what you have, right? Another guy that he has making the roster is Kawan Williams. Now, Kawan Williams is very, very familiar with our DB coach because they were both over in Cleveland at the same time. And so I think that there was something that the DB coach liked when he was looking at Kawan. He knew that the injury wasn't going to be career-ending, so I think he dropped the bug into the ear of Robert Saleh and our GM, John Lynch, and said, hey, guys, get him. He's going to be a fine. So you imagine getting the call from Jeff Hafley saying, hey, guys, it's not a career-ending injury. He is going to be fine, I promise you. He's going to be a great find, a great steal. I say let's go ahead and move on him. And, you know, this entire roster has been built that way with familiarity of the players that we've added on. Every acquisition has some sort of familiarity with the exception of, like, Juszczyk. But, you know, I mean, his production and his numbers speak for themselves. So a lot of the players, I should say, have some familiarity with the training staff and the coaches that are here now, and that's how they were all acquired. So this one is no different. Kawan Williams coming over from Cleveland, Jeff Hafley being the guy that was there working with him. So I'm not too surprised about that, okay? And also he can help out a little bit in special teams from my understanding. So we will see. Again, without seeing a single preseason game, no fans have really been out there at the practices, so we have no idea. This is just a guess, something to get the people talking, get the juices flowing, you know? Then there was Keith Reeser. I can't say that I'm a huge Keith Reeser fan, but I'm not going to act like I don't like the guy either. In 3 years, I've seen worse. I will say that. I have seen worse. So I'm not entirely upset about Keith Reeser making the 53-man roster. And last but not least, as far as the corners go, he has Zach Franklin. Now, Zach Franklin is an undrafted free agent that we picked up this season. Zach Franklin is a young man from Washburn, all right? And this really intrigued me because, you know, sometimes things happen, right? And you just hope that the stars align so everything works out, okay? So Ali does this 53-man roster prediction, and he has Zach Franklin making the cut. And so I'm puzzled. I'm messaging the guys in the group chat, and I'm like, do you guys know which guest we had lined up for the next podcast? And they were like, no, we know you guys were reaching out. You were talking to some players. You guys got a couple of things lined up. You guys have been talking to coaches and stuff. You got, you know, but we don't know. You guys never said who it was. And I was like, that's interesting. That's very interesting. So, ladies and gentlemen, our guest is actually Zach Franklin. And I just think that it's amazing that he has an undrafted free agent making the 53-man with, one, very little knowledge about him, and two, not knowing that he was our next guest. So I'm going to let Zach Franklin give you guys some information about who he is, what he does, and let me tell you, little teaser, this guy has it. He absolutely has it. I'm not going to go into it. I'm going to let you guys hear it. Without further ado, here is our interview with the man, Zach Franklin. Check it out, faithful.
So now they've got to start from deep in their end of the field, and Garrison Hurst takes advantage of it. He takes the handle, hits to his right, gets to the 20. He's at the 30. Needs to cut in. He comes back up the right sideline. Breaks a third tackle. Comes down to the 30. He's down to the 20. He's down to the 10. He's down to the 5. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, 49ers. 96-yard run from scrimmage. Garrison Hurst breaking tackle after tackle. Sweeps down the sideline, throws off bodies like clothes after a marathon.
Young, back to throw. In trouble, he's going to be sacked. No, gets away. He runs, gets away again, goes to the 40, gets away again, to the 35, cuts back at the 30, to the 20, the 50, the 10, he died. Touchdown, 49ers.
Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking, got it, post, and it's good.
Second down, takes the snap, throws the flag to the left side. It's Russell, intercepted! The 49ers pick it, and Navarro Bowman, his redemption! Navarro Bowman running it all the way for the touchdown! No greater redemption!
The San Francisco 49ers, we can do whatever we want.
Joined now by our very special guest, undrafted free agent Zach Franklin from Wichita. Zach, how you doing, buddy? Thanks for joining us today.
No problem. I'm doing pretty well, Mike. How about yourself?
Very well. Very, very well. I just want to say thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy day and just getting on here with me, man. So I want to get to know you a little bit. I want to introduce you a little bit, I guess, to some of the fans who may or may not know who you are. Give them a little bit of background about yourself. So I'm going to let you do that. I see on here, Wichita. Why don't you give us a little history about just, you know, who you are, where you're from, and you're a DB. Let them know what you're doing for the team.
All right, well, I'm from Wichita, Kansas. That's right in the middle of the map. A lot of people don't know where that's at, but I went to school at Washburn University. That's a D2 school, so... We have a pretty good, Topeka holds about, I just want to say 12,000 or so students. That's about it. So it's not very big at all, but that's where I went. I went there, I got my degree in legal studies, and I have a minor in criminal justice. And I just graduated, so I'm just ready to go. I played DB there. I was a corner there for, I started my 3 years, and my freshman year I was second string. So
nice, very, very nice. Okay, so I mean, DB all day, huh? You got a 6 foot, 200 pound based off of the team website. Now I know that earlier on there was mention of a hamstring. How's that doing?
It's doing well now. We just need a little time to recover and everything, but now I'm back at full strength, so I'm ready to go.
Awesome. All right, so let's get to know a little bit more about you again personally. Again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Zach Franklin from Wichita. I wanted to know who or what inspired you to pursue football. I mean, I see that I was reading over some of the stuff about you, and it seems like a lot of people were, you know, kind of counting you out and, you know, you maybe aren't going to make it, but you keep defying the odds, man. It's a great story. I just want to know what gives you that drive. Like, what inspired you to not just start playing, but continue playing and pursuing?
Well, at first it was just me and my dad on the weekends. That was something we always did. We would throw the football around. We would watch the football games. He was a big Vikings fan. Growing up, Vikings and Raiders fan. And as soon as I could play it, We got enrolled in it, so I've been playing since about the second grade. So at first it was just kind of thing that me and my dad did, but after a couple of years you just kind of fall in love with it, and ever since then I just love to play. So I've been putting my all into it, and it's brought me to this point where I'm at now.
Okay, all right, I like that, man. That sounds very, very good, man. I like that. Young, playing it since you were young and sticking with it, you know, and just passionate about it. It's something that I think will drive people a lot further than just their natural ability, that passion for the game. It definitely seems like you have it. I got some quotes that I saw from you. I'm going to get to that a little bit later, but I know from the quotes that I read about from you that you definitely have that passion. I like it a lot. So I wanted to ask you, what player would you compare your skill set to? A professional NFL DB or corner, who do you think your skill set resembles the most? And I know everyone's their own player, and you know, you don't want to be the second of anybody or anything like that, but if you could draw a comparison between your skills and someone else's, who do you think it would be?
I think I would have to go with Revis in this prime, because, you know, Revis, he was very patient. Of course he did a lot of bump and run, he was a press corner, but at the line of scrimmage he was very patient, and you never heard him talking on the field. He didn't do a bunch of theatrics and things. He just came in, he played his game, and he went home. And that's all it was, week in and week out, just coming to work and doing what he does.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's a heck of a comparison, man. Revis in his prime. I like that. Now, I'm going to be watching you now, man. I'm going to be really, really looking for some big things from you, because I like that. Those are big shoes to fill. I like it. I like it a lot. let's go with...
How big of a change has it been for you, coming from, you know, like you said, D2 all the way up to pro style defenses? Like what's the change been like for you? What are you familiar with from college? Like how is it different for you?
I feel like the change isn't really that big. We kind of ran similar defenses back home, so it was pretty much just man defense, and that's what we're doing here. You go up against your man and you beat him every play, so I'm very comfortable with that. But the speed is a lot different. Of course, coming from a D2, everyone here is an athlete. Everyone can do what you do, so you know, you really have to love this game to be at your best. So,
oh yeah,
it's a little different, but when it comes down to it, football is football.
Okay, all right, good. And the speed's not too much for you to adjust to. I mean, I know it's going to take some time getting there, but it's like that for everybody when they get into the pros. So I understand that. Wanted to find out about who's assisting you, who's helping you along the way, whether it be a player on the team, is someone pulling you to the side and saying, hey, you know, fix this, fix that. Not just the coaches, but like I want to know about like some peer mediation, or maybe even family. Like you said, maybe I don't know if your father's still helping you out with things, or he's still keeping you motivated. Just who is it that's giving you that extra oomph while you're currently with the 49ers?
Well, of course, my family's always backing me. They call me and check on me, see how everything is going. So I always have them in my corner. But I think up here right now, there's a couple of vets that kind of pull me to the side while we're doing drills and things of that nature, and kind of teach me exactly how, you know, the coach wants things to be done. And, you know, that's Rashard Robinson, and Prince has even helped me a few times, come in with me on the weekends and done a couple things. So, you know, the vets, it's a good group. They kind of teaching you how, even what the coach wants, you know, off to the side.
Awesome. Support from the family and a couple of the vets pulling you to the side, Prince and Rashard. That's awesome, man. Those are good people to learn from, man. Especially Rashard has got some fire in him. So, it seemed, like I said, you seem motivated, and seeing his fire, it's got to be something that's infectious. So, I'm sounds very good, man. You get me excited over here. So, would you say that your family is the biggest motivating factor in your life? Like, what do you think just keeps you going? Like, what is it that you're working so hard for? Do you have a reason at all, or is it just because you're passionate about it?
My family is definitely a big motivator. You know, of course, everybody wants to do well for their family and kind of set them up for things and do things with them that they weren't able to do in their childhood. So, you know, we weren't rich by any means, but we lived. But of course, you always want better for the people that come after you, you know, your nephews and cousins and things like that. So, you know, just my family, that's really what I do it for. And of course, I've always loved the game.
Yeah.
That just comes natural. I'm going to love it forever.
Awesome. That is awesome, man. Okay. So we hear stories about people going to OTAs and starting in the NFL. Even current players say they sometimes still get nervous, end up like vomiting on the sideline before a game or before a practice. What's your biggest nervous moment? Have you had anything like that happening with you since you, like you said, you went from D2 all the way up to the NFL? How's that affecting you as far as your nerves?
My nerves are pretty good. I haven't experienced anything quite like that. You know, you get a couple butterflies in your stomach, you know, right? What was that? My rookie minicamp, there was a little butterflies in my stomach before I started. But once you start going through the motions and playing football again, it all goes away and you just play.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about, like, you know, the rookie minicamp and things so far and how they've been progressing. I want to ask you about the best thing that's happened to you since you've been here, a big play, big PBU or pick or anything like that, and the worst thing that's happened to you. And you can go whichever one you want first. Something maybe you wish the coaches didn't see. Oh, man, I know I'm better than that. Or I just tripped. That won't happen again. Something like that. Or maybe it's something extremely positive. You know, pick six or something. So what's both ends of the spectrum there that you wish that they saw, and then some things that you wish that they didn't see?
In terms of negative, one of the times it was like a bang bang play where I didn't quite get off a block fast enough. Like I was right there, so I know I should have got off of it, but that was, I guess, one of the worst things, because you always want to finish on the other side of the receiver, because of course the receiver gonna say they blocked you even though you were right there with them. But that would have to be one of the worst things, and one of the best things. I haven't had any interceptions or things like that. It's really just working on my first steps off the line of scrimmage. They teach a different technique from where I came from, so okay. I really had to learn to be even more patient. You can see how I progressed from when I first got here to now about my steps that I'm taking and the cutoff angles we need to take and things like that. So it's just those reps when you see my progression. Those are some of the best things I've done so far.
Awesome. Okay. All right. I like that. I like that. Very, very good stuff, man. I wanted to ask you about your favorite moment in college. You know, what you think maybe one of your biggest games or your biggest moment, your best game. What's one of your favorite moments from your college career?
Ooh, that would have to be when we played Pittsburgh State. That would be my junior year. They were ranked number 3 in the country at that time, and it was at their house, and they had a packed stadium, one of the biggest crowds they ever had, and we went in there and we won by, it came down to the end of the game, but we went in there and won, and I had a pretty big game. They kept trying me. I guess they didn't believe the hype, so it was kind of nice going in there just with your teammates. You know, you go in 60 strong and everyone else is against you.
Yeah.
Oh, and I feel like, you know, that kind of brings your team together and you really thrive when you can just see the crowd getting out of the game and all the fans they have there are silent. It's just a beautiful moment.
That's right, man. You DB, you know, that's what you got to do. Shut them down and shut them up. Get the crowd quiet. That's right. I love it. Absolutely love it. All right. If there was one thing you want the 49er fans to know about you that they don't already, what would that one thing be?
I love the process. Of course, everyone loves the games and the big lights and everything, but that's only one day out of the week, you know.
Right.
Coming up to that, it's a grind. It's a grind. We're here from 6 to 6 in meetings and practice, doing conditioning, getting your bodies right, because this is our job. So pretty much doing everything we can to play at the best of our abilities, and I love every second of it. This is what I've always wanted to do, and I feel like once you no longer love the process, you can't really play this game how it deserves to be played. So I'm in love with the process.
That's a very interesting perspective, man. We don't think about that a lot, because as fans, we're not privy to seeing, you know, the practices and things like that. And so we hear about the practices, we read about them, but it's really just a matter of us waiting for the big game day. And that's what we go off of, and that's what we see. But you guys are out there doing this constantly, nonstop. And so it's good that you not just, you know, you don't mind going through it, but you enjoy the process. That it means you enjoy bettering yourself. That's a beautiful thing to hear, man. I really like that. I want to find out some of your passions. Like, what do you like to do in your free time? I know a lot of guys on the team like to fish, you know. Some of the guys like to, you know, just go home and spend time with family. What are your passions? What do you do?
I really just go home and spend time with my family. That's the main thing, you know. I have an older sister, and me and her are really close, so we spend a lot of time together. She's married and has kids, so I have a couple nephews. I just get close with them. That's all I really do, and watch TV, do things with them, get them outside rather than being in the house all day, you know.
Absolutely.
Time with the family.
That's good, man. That's very, very good. Family man, much like myself. I like that. Are you much of a gamer at all? I know you said get the nephews outside. Are you much of a gamer? Are you a PlayStation or Xbox guy or what?
I do have an Xbox One, but I don't really play it. It's more of a Netflix machine now.
Netflix, I hear you, man. What's your favorite show on Netflix?
Ooh. That's a hard one. That's a hard one.
I know there's a lot of them out there. The new season of Orange is the New Black just came out this week. My wife and I are watching that, so there's a lot of good things that are out there on Netflix. I know
I'm currently watching that one too, so.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap this up soon, but I do want to ask you this. I know that you said, you know, you got your degrees in legal studies and a minor in criminal justice, and I think that's pretty good, man. I love hearing that about young men If you weren't playing football, what would you be pursuing?
I actually think I would go back to school. Washburn actually doesn't have an engineering program, and that's what I originally wanted to be. I wanted to be an electrical or mechanical engineer.
Wow.
So I would actually go back to school and get one of those two degrees and take off from there. I like working with my hands. I'm very hands-on. You know, I love the law and things like that, but I don't feel like I could sit in a suit all day kind of going through paperwork. I like building things and seeing how stuff works and knowing how it works, taking it apart, putting it back together. So I would go get more education.
Nice, nice. I love it, man. That's awesome, man. I love hearing that. Go back and pursue that education, get that engineering degree. I like that. I want to end this with a quote, and I want to let you respond to it, but I was reading this article on you, and this was from the Wichita Eagle, all right? And this article was done by, I'm going to see if I can pull up the article again, but in this, there's a quote. The writer of this was Taylor Elbridge. And the quote that was in here, I really, really like this quote, man. I read this a couple of times, and I was like, these are tough words. I like this. So the quote is, I'm not going there to be a practice player. I'm going there to take somebody's job. People have always told me I couldn't play at that level, but no matter where I've gone, I've always been at the top. I don't plan on anything changing when I go there. I want to play on Sundays. Like, when you said that, see, like, I've read that so many times. I can hear you being calm when you say it. I can hear you being fired up when you say it. What was your demeanor? Like, how do you feel? Like, how did you feel when you were saying those words? Like, what was going on in your mind at that time?
I was calm. I'm a very calm person.
Okay.
That's just kind of how I felt about it, you know? You come in here, nobody says, I want to go to the NFL and watch. You want to go to the NFL to go play. You want to be on the field. So that's the same mindset that I'm bringing here now. I want to go here. I want to play. I'm going to compete, and I'm going to compete for a job, and I want to play on Sundays.
I love it.
That's all it comes down to.
I absolutely love it. Listen, Zach, I won't take up any more of your time. I truly appreciate you stopping by. I'm going to give you a big round of applause here. Thank you so much for coming by. Really, really, really appreciate it. So again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Zach Franklin, the undrafted free agent DB for the San Francisco 49ers. Man, I'll be looking forward to watching you in preseason. Hopefully you make the team, man. I like your passion. Like you said, you like the process, and that's something that I think carries a lot of weight, and hopefully it all translates to success on the field, man. Looking forward to seeing big things from you, Zach. Thank you so much for joining me today.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Nothing but Niners!
And there it is, Faithfuls. Man, I'm telling you guys, man, I like that kid. He's witty. He seems completely, completely with it and motivated, like I said before. I mean, listen, can you imagine making it to the NFL from a D2 school? Topeka, Kansas, 12,000 students. I mean, I salute to the scouts that were out there. I know that some of this was already set up by the previous regime scouts and some of it's new stuff, but man, I really, really salute to whoever it is that's out there looking in Topeka, Kansas, and, you know, oh my goodness, man, like, it's just amazing to me, all right? But a young, intelligent guy, I mean, he's got a degree in legal studies, a minor in criminal justice. He even wants to go back to school for mechanical engineering. I mean, come on. When he was talking about the degree in legal studies and the minor in criminal justice, I instantly thought about Akello Witherspoon. I wonder how they get along, you know? So it's just things like that. I mean, he had a hamstring, but, you know, it's healed, it's fully healed. And let me tell you, his confidence, man, his confidence. I mean, a lot of people would say, oh, you know, look at the scheme I'm going to. And when I asked him about what player in the NFL he reminds himself of, he didn't say, oh, look at, you know, Richard Sherman. You know, that would be the easy thing to do, right? He put a lot of pressure on himself when he said Darrelle Revis. And I'm thinking, oh, he's going to be cocky. No. It was about because Darrelle Revis is quiet. He does his job and that's it. He makes a play. He goes to the sideline and he comes back out and it's time to work. And he's patient. And he said that more than one time throughout the interview. So I just had a blast talking with him, man. I mean, Zach, I really, really hope he makes this team. I love what I heard from him so far. You know what I mean? Listen to this. When I asked him to tell me both his best and his worst moments of OTAs, he immediately went with the worst. You know, it's easy to sit and reflect on the good times, right? And that comes out, and then you can sit there and say, oh, I got to think about what was bad. No, the bad was what was easy for him to come up with. That was the part that was right there. It was prevalent in his mind. He's focusing on correcting himself and becoming better at his job. That's great. That is wonderful. He actually had to hesitate and think about something positive. You know, it was like, you know, just that, but I know I was right there. I could have done better. And then he had to, you know, focus on the pot. I mean, guys, he is sharp. He's absolutely sharp. So I really hope you guys enjoy the interview. I'm going to try to keep this podcast short, so we're going to cut this out now. I mean, faithful, like Nick says, each and every time, above all else, stay faithful. We out.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
that
man.
Look out. Here comes the blue coat,
Kevin. Oh, they got him.
Here comes
they're coming
the blue
from the
coats.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.